Our sermon text for today comes from Romans, the 7th chapter, starting in verse 15 through verse 25. Romans chapter 7, 15 through 25. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I do not want to do it. It is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. I am a big fan of Paul's writings. And after reading this passage, I have to say, why don't we just give up? It seems like if Paul can't do it, who can? But that's not what Paul's saying. Paul's not saying that we should give up. He's not saying that there's no hope for us. He's just reminding us of the reality of the world and the life that we live in. That even though we try to be good people, we try to make good decisions, we are always at work with the sinful nature that is a part of our very being, of being human. Of all of the struggles that we have, on top of that, Satan knows us better than we know ourselves, and he always knows what is best to get us to struggle. So we're dealing with this on a constant basis. How in the world do we be the people that we want to be and not the people that we don't want to be? That's the dilemma that Paul is dealing with. And I think that is a very real problem in our everyday life. Because that's what life is about. How do I be the person that I want to be, knowing that I'm going to make wrong decisions? Now, I could stop driving. That would really help. Then I wouldn't get near as upset at people. And I could stop listening to the radio and not get on the internet, and then I wouldn't get upset at those people. And I could just lock myself in a room, but then I'd probably read a book and I'd have to argue with that person. You can't run from this dilemma. That's what Paul is talking about. It's the struggle that we have in our everyday life. How do we be the people that we truly want to be as followers of Jesus Christ? I truly believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to be perfect as Jesus was perfect. That's our calling, to be perfect. So how do we deal with trying to be perfect when we are so imperfect? That's the dilemma we face. Now, I want to share with you a story today. It's a Native American story, very old story. A young man a young boy is talking with his father. And they're talking about this dilemma that they face, that the boy is facing. Wanting to make good decisions, but not making good decisions. And he asks his father, why is it that the things that I want to do, I don't do? And the things that I don't want to do and I shouldn't do are the things that I do. And the father explains that there are two wolves at war within him. One is good and one is evil. And the boy looks at his father and says, I don't have a chance. How can this be? The two wolves will continue to fight with one another. How can I encourage the good wolf to win? And the father says to the boy, the wolf that wins is the wolf you feed. And that is what Paul's talking about here. If we feed our faith, if we feed our love for Jesus Christ, then that is going to grow stronger within us. People who think that they don't need to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. But tell me how you're going to do it. Tell me how you can be a Christian all by yourself. Christianity is not an individual faith. It's a community faith. We join together as people. We support one another. That's why we pray for one another. That's why we lift one another up, because we know we're weak. We know that by ourselves, we are incapable of being the people that we truly want to be, and we need help. So the church is what helps us to feed the Spirit in us. And I heard this over and over and saw it written on Facebook and other places when we were basically not allowed to have services together, and people would say, I miss it. I miss getting together as the church. It just doesn't seem like it's Sunday. It doesn't seem like our day of worship without being able to come together as the family of God, because we miss that coming together and that supporting one another. We are the people of God. We are gifted with God's Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and admit that we are incapable of having a relationship with God on our own because we are filled with sin. We're told in Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We don't have a hope on our own. We need Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he provides for us. But that's only the beginning. It's only the beginning of our relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's all the farther we go, then we're going to be weak in our faith. And we're not going to be able to have the strength to make the right decisions in our lives. So we need one another. We need the support that we give to one another. This is a difficult time in the church. I know there are many people who are still not comfortable in coming to worship services. And I understand that. I understand that there is some fear out there. And I think in some ways it's justified, and people need to do what they're comfortable with. But how do we be the church of Jesus Christ in the situation that we're in today? And we need to reach out to one another. We need to lift one another up in prayer. We need to support one another. I have a very good friend, one of my best friends probably, who just started back to services. And he normally had a worship attendance of about 150 in his two churches. Last week was his first week of services. He had three services and had less than 60 people in church. And that's hard. So as this morning, I got up and I sent him a message and told him that I hoped God was with him today and that he would powerfully speak the word of God to the people who showed up. I don't know why I did. I've never done that before. But that's what I felt led to do. We need to lift one another up because we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We need to be God's people for each other. Paul understood he wasn't alone. He understood his struggle. This is a struggle that he faced on a daily basis. But Paul also knew he wasn't alone. You read any one of Paul's letters and you see it. He thanks the people in every single letter for their prayers, for their support, for their kindness, for all of the things that they do for him. Because we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, are joined together by our faith. And we need to remember that and continue to lift one another up because every single one of us is facing a struggle, a war within ourselves. A struggle to be the people we know that God has called us to be. Struggling with the person that we are. If we continue to follow Jesus Christ and to grow stronger in our faith, we will grow stronger on a daily basis and grow closer to the person that God wants us to be. That's our goal. That for me is why Bible study and worship time and praise time and individual devotional time is so important. Because we need to continually be striving to be closer to Jesus Christ, to feed the Spirit within us, that the Spirit may grow stronger. That our connection to Jesus Christ may grow stronger. There are many times in the world that we feel we're alone. And that's when we need to be reminded that we are not alone. God is with us continually. And the people of this church and the people who have joined us online, we are joined together as God's people. You don't have to be sitting in this building to be a part of us. You just have to desire to lift us up and to support us as we lift you up and support you. That's what the church is about. It's a living, growing thing. And it can only grow stronger when we depend on God. The key to all of this, and Paul understood this, was we've already won. Can you imagine going to a sporting event and playing in the event, say a football game, and before the first kickoff, you already know the end score and that you won? It'd be a whole lot different game, wouldn't it? Go to a baseball game and know that your team is going to win before you even start. Not just think you're going to win, but know what the final outcome is. That's what we're living in with our faith. Satan is defeated. He's already been defeated. We have already overcome. Don't forget that. The war is already won. The only thing we're going through now is the battles. When the outcome is already known, why should we fear the battle? Lift one another in God's name. Support one another in prayer. Because as God's people, we have already won. As individuals, let us be reminded that we are God's people and that He loves us and lives within us and that we can be the people He's called us to be for the time He has given us to live here. That is who we are. That is what God has called us to be. Amen.